Welcome back, everybody. It is going to be another riveting episode of Enterprise Dish. And I say that a little bit in jest because I'm going to need to rip onto Rick here at the end of the episode about some eating habits that he shared on Twitter. And trust me, you're going to want to stick around because I believe they are ridiculous. Rick, how's it going?
It's pretty good. I'm prepared to defend my stance, but other than that, yeah, we can we'll carry on and have a great podcast.
This is going to be a thesis defense here.
Ready for it. I shamed myself on social media about this very polarizing topic.
It is, and we will get to that in a few minutes. But before we do that, Rick, at Ignite this year, Microsoft announced, I think it's not all that surprising, but I think it caught some people by surprise, myself included. It's a feature called Azure Arc. And as the name sort of implies, what it allows you to do is arc across your entire hybrid ecosystem. It doesn't matter your cloud. It doesn't matter who your vendor is, at least on paper. You're going to be able to manage it through Microsoft's own dashboard. That's kind of a bold take.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'd like to look at it somewhere under the rainbow, right?
Yeah.
Or over the rainbow. The thought is here to there. They're definitely making a play on the hybrid.
Yep.
And this may, and I'm going completely Rick personal speculatory here.
Sure.
This may be what will answer a very important question to me is what's going to happen with System Center? And, you know, Azure has been so important. System Center is very heavy on-prem, and they've had a couple little finger pokes up to Azure and all that. But is Arc going to be that longer-term vision of as a management platform, as a administrative play across resources and hybrid from the start? You know, so that's a question I have. You know, I don't know the answer, but I have been very curious what's going to happen with System Center.
Sure.
You know, because if you go back a few years, System Center Virtual Machine Manager was one of the more important kind of strategic ones when Microsoft was really fighting against VMware for that virtualization play on premises, right? Go back a bit more. I would challenge that System Center Config Manager is still actively used by organizations today for endpoint management, right? Good play there. But then Ops Manager, Data Protection Manager, there's a whole suite of stuff. But like, okay, what's the strategy with Azure and System Center, right? So that's kind of a question I've got. And maybe Arc is part of that. We'll see.
It's a very good question. And you raise a good point. Microsoft, I don't know if they coined the term, but they definitely started to popularize hybrid 2.0. We've officially left 1.0 behind. And now we're full steam into 2.0, whatever nebulous bucket that means, but we are there.
Well, and Microsoft's going to do hybrid better than anyone else.
Yep.
You know, I sit in a world with my professional role here where I have to look at definitely the two big clouds that start with A, starting to look at the third cloud that starts with A, and other clouds, right? But Microsoft by far has that hybrid story way better. And I mean, I simply just prefer Azure and I prefer hybrid 2.0 as a mindset, because if you look at organizations today, I think that they, my boss likes to say one thing and I say a different thing, but they both align to what I'm getting at. My boss likes to say the cloud is not a charity. I like to say people don't choose the cloud because it's cost efficient. They choose it because it's the right platform, which basically inherently implies that there may still be something on premises, which I don't think data centers are going away for established businesses.
Yeah.
Important caveat. If I was starting something up today, I'd probably go all cloud from the start and just focus on good laptops and good Wi-Fi and then be done with it.
Yep.
But established organizations, that's not exactly going to be an option. So I think hybrid is almost a default for most of the organizations out there today. Not everybody's Netflix. Not everybody is Uber that's, you know, or Facebook, right? Born in the cloud or make their own cloud type of thing. So I think that when you look at organizations, hybrid is a very safe bet. Even VMware feels that way too, which VMware and Microsoft are an interesting competition now. I almost feel like VMware and Microsoft are kind of like the where Citrix and Microsoft were a few years ago over the display. Yeah. And, you know, VMC, VMware Cloud on AWS, VMware Cloud on Azure, those are plays to kind of build on that, right? And they're banking on hybrid too. So some of the bigger platform players are aligning to hybrid. Microsoft in particular. So I think it's a safe move. We just got to see where it's going. See what beta picks up and previews and, I love that it's PowerShell and Azure CLI first, right? That's a good play for today, and that rhymes. But it's a good milestone. We got to see how it goes. It was kind of buried a little bit, but I know a lot of people on Twitter were like, Azure Arc was kind of that most important next thing coming takeaway for some of the people that I was following on Twitter.
I mean, it's for there's a lot of neat stuff they always announce at Ignite and all that. But Azure Arc, I think, is one of those things that you look at and be like, yeah, I could actually use that like tomorrow. Like it's real easy to understand. Yeah. The benefits are pretty cut and clear. It's a neat little product that's going to be coming.
Yeah. I mean, when it's hooking into services like Azure Resource Manager, I mean, that's where a lot of people are going to put a lot of their effort in their Azure practice. And I'm real curious, just partly from my own Azure journey, Brad and I have been talking, but I've been really locked into Azure storage and Azure security. And it, kind of the thought is you can't really do any of the Azure services without making security part of the story. But anyways, I'd love to see some like Azure Advisor get rolled into Azure Arc, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe some of the Azure Security Center type alerts and stuff. Yep. Then now we're talking a little bit more comprehensive, right? And that's where it gets my interest. So no, this is a good first step. Let's see where it goes for sure.
It is. This will be, I don't know. This will just be one to watch, right? It's early on in the product development. They announced it 20 days ago or something or like that or whatever. And so we'll see how this one shakes out. But one of the things we do want to see that is definitely coming sooner rather than later, which is quite hard to believe, is Rick, it is the end of the year. Whatever you want to say about it, like the November's basically over. December is usually eaten up by the holidays. And then before we know it, it's January. We're all back at work. And so what's on Rick's agenda? What are you doing for 2020? What's your plan, business? You know, what's Veeam thinking about? What's on the agenda for 2020?
So 2019 is going to end strong. For me personally, and of course for Veeam, we're right on the edge of a big product launch, right, which is really tough. In fact, just yesterday, our Veeam backup for Microsoft Office 365 version 4 product went GA. So now we can do blob storage and object storage for backups of O365. Great, great enhancement there. But for me, I'm resetting and aligning to putting a little bit more of a cybersecurity focus in what I'm doing.
Okay.
Now, for those of you who listen on the podcast, I mean, I spend my day in the world of backup. And backup is a great thing. It's a necessary thing. But I almost want to modernize the approach a little bit again, right? I've always been wanting to do more with backup. So I'm, you know, taking a new focus on ransomware. I'm writing a paper on that, which better be done by the end of the year. and then I have a unique opportunity here with our business to actually help shape 2020 for Veeam. Wow. So, you know, big organizations that are vendors in the space. So like Veeam and, you know, Microsoft VMware and NetApp, Cisco, all of them, Amazon, they do these things called a sales kickoff. And so that's what I'm focusing on really for the rest of the year. So a kickoff is, you know, people who don't work for a vendor, best way to describe it is a pep rally. And the thought here is you get your whole company, all the regional sellers, marketers, et cetera, that sit in every major city and do the local transactions around the world. You got to give them that annual inoculation of corporatism. This is what we're doing for the year. These are the products you'll have to sell. This is what's now available since we last talked, right? And get them amped up and get them fired up and go into the market ready to win, right? So that's what I'm going to work on. And I do that through technical storytelling, right? This is what our products do, and this is what the market is doing. And actually, I think both of those are very important. You can't just say, you know, here's a list of features, go sell. No, you have to put it in context. You have to say, these are the challenges that organizations have. These are needs of the market. And I talk to customers in some way every day. You know, I have the giant social media screen right there. Mm-hmm. I've got, you know, meetings, I go to events. I'm at a big Amazon event next week, right? So I have a lot of chats with customers. But all of that rolls up to specific advice and recommendations in the market and assessments like that. And that's what I'm focusing on. But I do want to get to building a new lab, but I decided I'm going to do that next year. I almost kind of don't know which way to go. I mean, from our practice, I'm going hybrid. We do a lot in Amazon and Azure. We also do a lot on-prem. And I just am in the middle of that, right? So I actually am not going to make a purchase next year. I'm going to go for 2021. But the other side of it is I'm getting ready to promote a mega giveaway. We decided to launch, I want to call it the Ultimate Home Lab giveaway, but how do you do that in 2020, right? So we're actually giving away this awesome cloud and lab kit. So we're going to give away like two servers, a shared storage, a TechNet professional subscription or standard, whatever the one that gives you all the Microsoft Visual Studio subscription. We're going to give Veeam software. We're going to give VMware software. And then we're also going to give like $10,000 of cloud credits to your cloud of choice.
Wow. So that's like, legit.
Yeah, it's legit. We're going to, if you follow Veeam on Twitter, trust me, you will not miss this.
Yeah.
And, so that's something to look forward to is through December, but, that's a big giveaway. And then beyond that, I'm going to go do it all again, right? Go to many markets around the world and try to control my travel a little bit more this year. But, I mean, 2019 and this decade has been amazing. It's actually, today is actually my 9th year at Veeam, my 9-year anniversary.
Wow.
So, you know, we have over 4,400 employees or something like that. When I started, we have 357 employees or so. At the time I knew everybody. Now I know nobody, right? it's just too big. But I'm getting ready to go into that 10th year and really amped up to take what we have to the market and win.
Very cool. Very cool. We'll be watching for that giveaway.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. The home labs work.
Rick, how can you slide me some?
No. The thing is, I mean, when we have the page, like I suggested like HPE servers and these drives and this backup target, but we can refactor it. So basically the winner, they're going to get a call with me and I'll have Uncle Bill's credit card. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Brought me some olives. Anyways, I'll have Uncle Bill's credit card and we'll be able to order basically like, for example, oh, I really like this type of, I like Lenovo servers. I don't like HPE. It's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll sort it. Yep. Or I want some SSDs in the mix. I don't really care about, you know, two servers. I just want one server with all SSD. Yeah. Think of like the winner. Yep. It's like a personal shopper.
Yep. Let's go shopping.
Yeah, and then if the winner's in another country, we'll just, you know, buy from the local vendors there that are Veeam partners. Mm-hmm. And it'll be fun. I love doing that. We've done it a couple times over the years, and this one's biggest one yet because of the cloud. And we'll put some, I said, a couple different winners. One winner will win the whole thing, the hardware and the cloud lab. Mm-hmm. And then some other winners will win, I think, different levels of cloud credits. Like I want to say $5,000 might be two of those. Maybe it's 10. I don't remember. The page isn't up yet, but a couple $1,000 in cloud credits. So your learning experience in the cloud, we will help you get there.
Good stuff. And speaking of things that we're learning about, Rick, so Rick posted a video of himself eating Grippo's barbecue chips here, which if you're not familiar, they're a delicious chip, I believe made in Cincinnati.
They are.
Yeah.
Brad and I both get the Grippo hook there. It's a nice, sweet, spicy barbecue potato chip, the most unique barbecue chip you'll find out there.
It's fantastic. My problem here, Rick, is you were eating them with a fork.
Yes.
That is, explain yourself.
I am a member of team no chip finger. I don't like the salty, greasy finger situation from eating your potato chips or your crisps by hand. Like, I am not an animal. I don't know
after this.
Like, I have mad skills, and I encourage y'all to check out this video. Like, I'll go into the bag with a fork, and I'll eat these chips. You just align the chip in the tine, and you eat them. Now, it's a little hard to do it on camera, Brad. I've never had to, like, take my eye off the chip.
Yeah.
I had to do it in that video. But it gets some attention. People are like, why is brother eating a potato chip with a fork? From a bag, on a plate, in a bowl, wherever.
Even on a plane?
Yeah.
If I can. You're like one rough air segment away from like stabbing through the bottom of that bag.
But Like, I am the only person who is in team no chip finger. I do not understand how the masses of human civilization can tolerate greasy, salty fingertips. Like, I mean, I haven't gone so far as to disclose that I eat my Cheetos with chopsticks, but I'm just saying chip finger is not a phenomena that I'm down with. It's like bowling. You ever go bowling and eating and drinking? I love doing that.
Yeah,
you ever really give some thought about the process?
No, I know where you're going with this, but Rick, all that's jumping through my head is they make these wonderful inventions. There's many brands, some of them made by other companies here in Cincinnati, known as Procter & Gamble, called napkins and paper towels. Well,
Yeah, okay, fine.
I respect the idea of not wanting to get grease all over your keyboard and mouse. I'm totally on board with that. I keep many, I can't grab it, microfiber cloths around to get it all off. But sometimes you got to live a little. Sometimes.
All right, well, let's at least agree that when you go bowling, eating, and drinking, you eat with your left hand.
Oh, yeah.
No eating with the bowl finger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's in those holes with your fingers? You don't want to find out. So I'm a little bit – I mean, I eat burgers with a fork and knife too.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I talk with my hands. I just don't eat with them. Let's just leave – I eat chicken wings with a fork and knife, and I'm really good at that.
Like, I mean – those things I understand because they're meat. Like meat with fork and knife, not a problem.
Chicken wing. I mean, I'm literally the only person. It takes me a while.
I can't say I've done it, but I mean, like, I'm not offended. I'm not offended by seeing someone eat chicken wings with a fork and knife. But out of a Grippo's bag, it just.
So I went to lunch with a coworker one time, a gentleman down the way here, and we're sitting there eating lunch, and I'm rocking my fork chip situation, and he's just the whole time. Looking at me. It was like the most unhuman thing he's ever seen. And I just, I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, what is this fork chip situation? And I don't know. I just don't like chip finger. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, you do you, you know, one life. Live it how, you want.
Chopsticks with Cheetos for 2020. That's right.
All right, Rick, as we shut it down, you got any departing words before we, sunset into, well, December, effectively.
No, just if anybody else could watch that video, get it over 3K views, that would help. But other than that, nothing.
Well, we will link down below this video on Petri, the chip finger fiasco.
Yeah.
And so just click Rick's where it says follow Rick on Twitter. Click that link and you will find a direct link to the atrocity known as chip fingers and a fork and Grippo's barbecue chips. And there we go, Rick. Well, as we head into the holidays here, Rick, we very much appreciate your time stopping by. And everybody else, make sure to hit the subscribe buttons. And we'll catch all of you right back here next time.